We've come to the 24th chapter of Acts as we journey through the Bible. This morning we'd like to draw your attention to verses 24 and 25. Acts 24, 24 and 25. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as Paul reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled, and he answered, "Go thy way for now. When I have a convenient season, I will call for you." Felix and Drusilla. Felix was the Roman governor of the province. At one time, he was a slave. And up until this time, the only slave in the Roman Empire who ever rose to the rank of governor. But this was largely due to the friendship that existed between his brother Paulus and Nero. They were very close friends. And so Paulus sort of interceded and received the appointment for his brother Felix as, first of all, governor over Samaria and then governor over Judea. The Roman historian Tacitus was very caustic concerning Felix. He said that he exercised the prerogatives of a king with the spirit of a slave. He was notoriously wicked. His name actually became almost a byword for wickedness. And at the time that Paul is appearing before him, he had been governor for 5 years over Judea. He was to reign for 2 more years, but then was to be recalled by the Roman Senate, and had it not been for his brother Paulus, he would have been executed for all of his misdeeds. He was married to 3 princesses, one after another. The first one, we don't know her name. The second one was actually the granddaughter of Antony and Cleopatra. And the third one, of course, was Drusilla, who was the great-granddaughter of Herod the Great, the granddaughter of Herod Antipas, who ordered the death of John the Baptist. She was the daughter of Herod Agrippa the First, and thus the sister of Herod Agrippa the Second. An extremely beautiful woman. She was, first of all, married to a man by the name of Azizus, who was the king of Emesa. But Felix, with the help of a magician, wooed her away from her husband, and she became the wife of Felix. But theirs was a sordid relationship at the best. They called for Paul that they might hear of his faith in Jesus Christ. And we read that Paul reasoned with them. The claims of Jesus Christ, the teaching of Jesus Christ, is very reasonable. Faith in Jesus Christ is very reasonable. It makes sense. The prophet Isaiah said, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, you may be as white as snow." A person who is living in sin is not really thinking rationally, because sin is destructive. And as you live in sin, you are being destroyed by that sin. Everything that God has classified as sin, everything that God has prohibited a person to do, are things that destroy a person. You see, God wants the best for you. And God has not forbidden you to do one decent thing. The only things that God has said no to are those things that destroy a man, destroy his character, destroy him physically. And yet, how many people mindlessly engage in destructive activities? But the Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked, because whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And if you sow to your flesh, you're bound to reap destruction. There are so many people, however, who are deceived, and they think that they are getting by with their sin. Because God does not immediately punish them. Because the effects of sin are not always immediately visible. Because sometimes it takes a while to see the effects that sin is having on you. People feel that they're getting by with it. They are deceived. And they think that it's not hurting them. Paul wrote to the Roman church and he said, do you think that you can escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of his goodness and his forbearance and long suffering? Do you not realize that the goodness of God is just giving you opportunity to repent? The hardness of your impenitent heart is just storing up wrath against you that shall be revealed in the day of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To those who patiently continue in well-doing, as they seek for glory and honor and immortality, God will give to them eternal life. But unto them who are contentious and do not obey the truth, but follow after unrighteousness, they will experience the indignation, the wrath, and tribulation and anguish that shall come upon the soul of every man who does evil. So Paul reasoned with them. These are the things that Paul reasoned about. First of all, righteousness. They were very wicked people. They lived in open defiance of the law of God. Felix was noted for his corruption. Paul spoke to them about righteousness, living the right kind of life, living a life that is right in God's sight, living before God in a way that is right, and then doing the right thing for and with my fellow man. There's a right way to live. There's a wrong way to live. There's a right thing to do and a wrong thing to do. Are you living in a right relationship with God? Is your relationship with God all right today? Are you living in a right relationship with your fellow man? God requires that you love one another. God requires that you do not lie or steal or cheat. That you do not commit adultery. God requires that you forgive those, the wrongs that they have done against you. That you show mercy to them. He requires that you are kind. Felix and Drusilla were none of these things. In fact, Felix ordered some thugs to kill some of his closest supporters. Paul reasoned to them of temperance, that is, moderation in the indulgences of your appetites or desires, self-control, not to be excessive. Both Felix and Drusilla lived lives of debased excesses. You've heard the phrase of living as though there were no tomorrow. And that's how some people live. They never think of the consequences that are going to come from the abuse of their bodies. They smoke and never think of the damage that they are doing to their bodies, to their lungs, and to their heart. They drink and don't think of the damage that they're doing to their brain cells and to their liver. They have promiscuous sex and they never think of the many sexually transmitted diseases that they are exposing themselves to. This isn't wise. Paul sought to reason with them. He sought to show them the wisdom of living a right kind of life before God and before man. But Paul also reasoned with them of the judgment to come. In other words, you may be getting by with this now, but there is a day coming when you're going to have to answer for this. In Proverbs chapter 1, we read, God is speaking. He said, when I called, you refused to listen. When I reached out to you, you disregarded me. But instead, you set aside my counsel. You would have nothing to do with my reproof. Therefore, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when you become terrified. Because of the desolation which has come upon you and the destruction which has come as a whirlwind, when you're filled with distress and anguish, I will mock. Then you shall call upon me, but I'll not answer. You will seek me earnestly, but you won't find me. For because you hated knowledge, and you did not choose the fear of the Lord, because you would have nothing to do with my counsel, and you despised my reproof, therefore you will suffer the consequences of your own ways, and you will be caught in your own devices. For the turning away from me by the simple will bring them destruction, and the prosperity of fools will destroy them. People need to realize that tomorrow you'll have to pay for yesterday. Solomon said, you rejoice, young men, in your youth, And you let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth, and you walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your own eyes. But know this, that for all of these things, God will bring you into judgment. There is a day of judgment that is coming. And though you may seemingly get by with your evil now, one day you're going to answer. One day we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. One day you're going to give an accounting of your deeds. You're going to have to answer for your misdeeds. And the result of Paul's reasoning with this wicked couple is that Felix began to tremble when he thought about his life. He was under the conviction of his sinful ways. The Spirit of God got hold of his heart. His eyes were open to the truth, the ugliness of his sinful ways. And he began to tremble when he began to think of the consequences that he would one day have to face because of the life that he was living. He was shaken by it. He began to tremble. But though he trembled, he didn't change. You can have conviction of sin without repentance. God can open up your eyes to see the truth about yourself, and it might be frightening. Every once in a while, you may get a glimpse of what's happening, and then you so quickly forget, and you continue on in those destructive practices. It may be that God sends a warning across the path. It may be that you have a very close call and you begin to tremble. It may be that you've been drinking and you start to drive and you almost had a head-on collision and you sort of pull off and you just shake there by the side of the road. The closeness that you came to losing it all. People are made aware every once in a while of the fact that sin is destructive and it is destroying you. But then, though oftentimes a person may tremble, they don't change. That was the case of Felix and Drusilla. As they saw the truth of God, as they came face to face with the truth of themselves, we are wicked, evil people, and one day it's going to catch up with us. They trembled at the thought of it, but they didn't change. But then he deferred a commitment. He said to Paul, go your way at this time. At a more convenient time, I will call for you. The problem with Felix is that the more convenient time never came. So many people are making that same mistake. They want to continue just a little longer in their sin. Oh, I plan to stop. I plan to give this up. I know it's wrong, and I know it's destroyed, and I'm planning to change. That's living in deception. At a more convenient time, I'm gonna turn around. I'm going to stop doing these things. So So often, however, it's like the parable of the rich man that Jesus spoke about, who was declaring all of his wonderful plans for the future. And God said to him, "You fool, tonight your soul will be required of you." And so many people making plans for the future, yes, they're one day more convenient. And God is saying, "Fool, tonight it's going to be all over." I wonder how many people are in hell today who planned that one day at a more convenient time they would consider the claims of Jesus Christ and surrender their lives to him. But as with Felix, that more convenient day never came. The Bible says, "Behold, today is the day of salvation. Call upon the Lord while he is near, lest the wicked days will come in which you will say, 'I have no pleasure in them.'" There will never be a more convenient time for you to commit your life to follow Jesus Christ than today. And to defer the decision to a more convenient time is usually disastrous. Now is the time to make that commitment, to forsake your sin, to determine to live in a right relationship with God, to forsake and to deny the flesh and the indulging in the flesh life, that you might live a Christ-centered life now. Shall we pray? Father, as we look at this tragic couple, the tragic story of a couple who lived as though there were no tomorrow, who lived in such open wickedness, whose lives were marked by a careless attitude towards you, who heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, who heard and could see the right way, but chose to live a little longer in the sinful practices, waiting for a more convenient time, but never experiencing that time, whose lives were ultimately destroyed. Oh Lord, help us that we would not follow that same pattern, and though convicted of sin, put off repentance as the Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts and reasons with us of righteousness and of self-control because of the judgment to come. Lord, may we make the wise decisions of listening today to your rebuke and your reproof. May we give heed to your counsel, lest the day of calamity come when we cry and you refuse to answer. Those today, Lord, who are living as did Felix and Drusilla. O God, may they today forsake their sins and begin to live according to your law of love and mercy and truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand? Living a righteous life has to be very reasonable. Destroying yourself in sin is unreasonable. To say, well, I want to destroy myself just a little more, that doesn't make sense. More convenient time, I'll think about it again, doesn't make sense. It makes sense to say, that's it. I'm going to forsake my sin. I'm going to turn my life over and I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. I'm going to live a righteous life, beginning now. That makes sense. And if it makes sense to you, I encourage you to go back to the prayer room. Pastors and counselors will be back there to pray with you this morning. It doesn't make sense to go home without Jesus Christ in your heart and in your life, controlling your life. He can give you that self-control. One of the fruits of the Spirit of God in your life is self-control, temperance. You don't have to live an intemperate life any longer. Jesus Christ can deliver you today from the power of sin that's in the process of destroying you. There's never a more convenient time than right now. And I encourage you now, this day, receive Jesus Christ.